Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. With sorrow we announce to the congregation that Mr. Jacob Ibraxa exchanged time with eternity on Thursday, May 8, in Bethesda, at the age of 88 years. To that end, let us sing together of Psalter 245, the stanzas 2 and 3, 2 and 5. At thy command, man fades and dies, and newborn generations rise. 1,000 years are passed away, and all to thee are but a day. And what follows? Psalter 245, the stanzas 2 and 5.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 24, the verses 36 through 49. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 24, the verses 36 through 49. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Hermina Hubraxa with the further mourning family. Remy, infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Jamie and Sylvia Clock, who came home from the hospital. Mr. and Mrs. Ed and Marika Clock, who hope to commemorate their 25th wedding anniversary tomorrow. And Mr. Hank Blumet, who hopes to turn 80 on Tuesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast granted unto us and our children another Sabbath day than in the past week, then thou hast made a difference. The past Sabbath day, an old husband and father, in a frail condition, and in the past week, he was ushered into eternity. Thou hast granted him many years. Some years ago before the gates of eternity, and thou wast yet given an extension, but an extension is only for the time. It is written in thy word 80 years, and if by strength 80 years, and thou wast given 8 more years, but it was also heard, and he died. Then we commend unto thee her, who has become a widow for the second time in her life. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou strengthen, together with all the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and may this calling be used by thy Spirit in thy hand for the quickening of many dead sinners. Then it has also been fulfilled. One generation goeth, and another generation cometh, and then a father and mother, then they were privileged in the past week to return to their home with their little child, a great-grandchild of the deceased. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart? Lord, we humbly ask thee that it may please thee, O King of thy church, the right hand of thy Father, as we have heard in the past week, from whence thou pourest out those heavenly graces. May it be in a rich measure in this morning hour, that thou may pour those refreshing showers of thy Spirit upon dead sinners, upon cold, unfeeling hearts, perhaps have not even asked of thee in this morning that thou would convert them, perhaps discouraged, a thinking impossible, a heart that is too hard, too old, that is sin too long. But, Lord, when thou poureth out those heavenly graces, then it all becomes different. Then thou granteth that new life with those new desires for thee, the living God, with profound impressions who thou art in all thy divine attributes, but also the uncovering work, that we learn what sinners we are with a soul traveling to eternity, Lord. Wilt thou then pour out those heavenly graces upon our boys and girls, upon our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, when we are deceiving and building upon sandy foundations, then the pouring out of those heavenly graces is so necessary that we may be uncovered and that we may become a true seeker. But, Lord, thou also hast a people upon the earth that have experienced those heavenly graces, but it can be that they dwell in a dry and thirsty land, that the sky is filled with clouds, that separation is felt, and may there have also been souls in this morning that have come up to thy courts with that longing and with that desire for those refreshing showers of thy Spirit, for the enlightening of thy Spirit, all the exercise of true saving faith, to be given to look upon thee and thy dear Son. And word is written that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. Thou hast a people upon the earth that they cannot open the heavens. They learn that they can only close them because of their backsliding and their sins. But then thou granteth the Spirit that they are given to beg by renewal, and thy church shall experience that upholding grace, and that thou art not a land of outer darkness. May it please thee, as we have heard out of thy holy word, that thou wast stood in the midst of thy church and revealed thyself with thy pierced hands and pierced feet, and that thou wast spoken so comfortably unto them. Wilt thou so remember, wilt thou grant in this day that there may be a rich ingathering over the length and the breadth of the earth? And then we commend unto thee the many temporal needs. Do remember all the mourning families in our midst. There are many amongst us where those places remain so empty, and where it seems they only become emptier. Oh, do grant them that special place at thy footstool when they are overwhelmed, where they may tell thee everything, and that they may humbly be given to ask thee for those everlasting arms, and to be spared from rebellion. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, also in our Bethesda, a mourning family, another empty place. May that calling also be sanctified. O, do pour thy heavenly graces also in that place, upon the hearts of young and old. And we remember all the sick and afflicted, those that are under the physician's care in special ways, those taking treatments, those with cares and fears. Wilt thou also grant them a place at thy footstool? May these callings be blessed, may they be sanctified. And do remember all the handicapped ones in our midst, the crosses and the burdens. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony? May we be given to speak good of the King. O, who is sufficient unto these things? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers among young and old? May it please thee to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Those that are lawfully hindered, do then go from dwelling to dwelling. And Lord, so by renewal, we have many matters to ask of thee, and we have nothing to plead upon. But thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Thy house is the place where thy honor dwelleth. May then the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of our many sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall as empires be. And what follows? Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 24 and there at verse 47, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Our text words speak of the weighty mandate given by the resurrected Christ to his church, with three thoughts in the first place. When this mandate was given, secondly, the two aspects of this mandate, and in the third place, the recipients of this mandate. The weighty mandate given by the resurrected Christ to his church. When this mandate was given, the two aspects of this mandate and the recipients of this mandate. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of the scriptures that the resurrected Christ, that he has visited his church in the evening hour, locked doors, many questions and many riddles. And then in that history, then we see that the Lord has been better than what he has promised. Nevertheless, but many times, because I read in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because in Matthew 26 verse 32, then Christ has already told his disciples that after his resurrection, that he would appear unto them in Galilee. And in Matthew 28, in the verses 7 by the angels, and in verses 10, then Jesus has declared to those women that he would appear unto his church in Galilee. But then we see that as the greater Joseph, as Joseph in the days of old, with a vehement desire that he may reveal himself unto his church with his pierced hands, his pierced side, and his pierced feet. The greater Joseph, we read in Genesis 45, that Joseph has made himself known, that his bowels were given to yearn. And so in the evening of the resurrection, then the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed himself, and then he has instructed them concerning the things of the Lord. It is specifically mentioned that he opened their understanding, that they would understand the scriptures concerning himself. And now on the evening of the resurrection, the disciples, how many boys and girls? How many disciples were there? There were 12. But there were only 10 present that evening. Judas, preacher of the gospel, walked with Jesus, respect of the disciples, has went to his own place. And Thomas, he was not in church. Not boys and girls, that Thomas did not like coming to church. otherwise he was always there. But for Thomas, everything upside down, afraid that he has deceived himself, and to that end, he has left the company, that church gathered in that room with the closed doors. Ah, then a Thomas was so miserable, but a true child of God, oh, a Thomas. 8 days later, he would be in church and receive a special visit. Those ways, they are not strange to the true child of God. Thus the disciples and the broader circle of the disciples, to travelers to Emmaus, possible, because we read in Luke 10 that 70 were sent out to bring the word, and then also the women, thus a great company unto whom Jesus has appeared. And now he has given a special mandate, and that mandate had a foundation, it is true. In Luke 9 we read, he has sent out the 12, we have mentioned Luke 10, the 70, but now he has given the mandate to his church based upon the finished work in the state of his humiliation that he has cried out, it is finished. He has satisfied justice. He has paid the price, glorified the attributes of his Father. And now to that end, that church must be brought forth from all peoples and from all nations. It was the church that was promised to Christ in the Council of Peace, Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then in the evening of the resurrection, also with a great love for his Father and for his Father's honor, that the church may be gathered, that they may be quickened, instructed, and brought back to the Father heart of God. To that end, in the evening of the resurrection, then he has given a special mandate, that his name must be proclaimed over the length and the breadth of the earth, that the elect church, those that are written in the book of the Lamb, and who are written in that book, congregation, that is concealed for us, but the Lord gathers his church as a reed in Romans 10 verse 17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to that end, then he has instructed his church, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And now concerning that mandate, it is true that word preached, that refers to a herald, more the official proclamation, but then it is clear in our text that that mandate, that has a wider meaning, because at that meeting when Jesus has appeared unto his church, the women were also present, and it is clearly written in the Bible that women are called to be silent in the church in the way of speaking, not in the way of example. Thus then it is clear in our text words that the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it exceeded the mandate which he would officially confirm on that mountain in Galilee in Matthew 28, verse 19, when it concerned the administration of word and sacrament, then we specifically read that we read of 11 disciples that were gathered on that mountain and whom the Lord has spoken that mandate to. But in our text words, then it was a mandate that was given to all of them. And so when we consider our words, not only officially, but it is the mandate of fathers and mothers with their dear children. We are traveling to eternity that we are called upon to instruct them in that aforesaid doctrine. Oh, point them to that one thing necessary. Oh, to try to arouse them. No, we cannot convert them, but by a godly example to arouse them to a holy jealousy and to try to impress the reality of life upon their young hearts, where the old must die and where the young can die. Thus, when we read of this mandate, then it included those women, godly women in the midst of the family circles. Then we could speak of the teachers in our Christian school, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That means that he is the sender, that he is given by the inspiration. Oh, we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all inspiration is given of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Our second thought, the two aspects of this mandate, and then those two aspects are repentance and remission. The first, that is not heard so much in many churches, still speak of remission. Also many that speak that Jesus has merited that remission and that it is up to the free will of man whether to reject it or to accept it. They make faith a works, and so they make the covenant of grace a veiled covenant of works. And that repentance should be preached in his name. When we think of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 2, then he has begun his preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Read the same of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that is so necessary for us and our children. It is an awful thing for a people that live under the truth, that refuse to repent, even in an outward way. Not sufficient for eternity, but is it not a terrible thing for a people under the truth when they refuse to repent, that they love the world so much, that they love their sins and their lusts, that they refuse to hearken when they are given to harden their heart, when the blessings of the Lord do not bring us on the right place, and under serious callings that we continue on our way, living in the world, for the world, and like the world, being world conformed. Oh, when we read the scriptures, then for such a people, still a blessing that we have families, that there are still many that do have respect for God's word. And when it is not so, then we are called to repent and turn while it may yet, when we read the scriptures in the Old Testament of peoples that refused to repent but hardened their heart, then destruction has come upon them. And on the other hand, when we read of peoples, think of the city of Nineveh, 40 days, and the city shall be destroyed by the preaching of Jonah. And that city was given to repent in sackcloth and ashes. The people, the king, the animals have cried unto the Lord, and the city was spared for many a year. And then maybe in this morning, then there are those, because we like to justify ourselves, and then we say, but we are unable to really repent. When we take the examples of the Bible, when the people in the Old Testament had an idol in their house, boys and girls, were they then enabled to take that idol and carry it out? Then you shall say yes. Think in the city of Ephesus upon the preaching of Paul. Then they had bad books in their house. And we can also have bad things, shall not multiply it out. Then we do not read that the Lord has sent an angel to come in those houses and to take those books and to place them upon the fire. Now then the family circles, they have did house cleaning in their houses. But now repentance does not exclude outward repentance. But the Lord now requires that there is the repentance of the heart, the true work of the Lord. And the Lord now has a people that is the mark of the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord begins that work, then there comes that genuine repentance. And that repentance becomes evident by the fruits. Christ in Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, then he has emphasized the fruits of that repentance. And what does that true repentance now include? Oh, that includes a true saving knowledge of the Lord and his divine attributes, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his long-suffering, of his holiness, and of his righteousness. And then the Spirit shows us that we have sinned so grievously. Does that mean, young people, that we have to go in the world? No. May you be kept. It's a terrible thing under the truth, and then to choose openly for the world. But when the Lord opens our soul's eyes, then we can even have lived like that rich young ruler. But when the Lord opens our eyes and he holds the mirror of the law before us, then we are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin And then those Beatitudes, they are not a strange language to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then faith worketh by love, because the Lord does not have slaves in his service. He has a willing people. Psalm 110, verse 3. Then they are drawn by love. And when we love someone, what do, boys and girls? Then we do our best to please. And so it is with that true repentance. And then that true repentance, that is a fruit, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And then it shall be experienced, as the instructors have written in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 33, a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God, that God that has been so good, so patient, so long-suffering, that has placed so much dung around the tree of our life that it may still stand. And then there shall be a hating and a fleeing of sin. Oh, that in that true repentance, what a strife there can be, because they have that strife with that triple-headed enemy, and what a temptations there can be. And when they are given to fall into temptation, then how deep it can go. Ah, then that sorrow is multiplied. And now that true repentance, that in the first place, oh, it also grants, as we read of the resurrection of the new man in Lord's Day 33, concerning the true conversion of man, then it is a sincere joy of heart in God, and the need to learn through Christ, and a holy delight to live according to all the commandments of God. And that repentance should be preached, to try to make right what is all amiss. Have we made a beginning, congregation, of that repentance needs to take place here in the time between the cradle and the grave. We need to be turned unto the Lord, and that repentance, not in the first place, not excluded, because when the Spirit works, and when law and gospel, that is clear in our text, when law and gospel may be preached, and then what does such a soul need? Not only to escape punishment, but to be restored into favor. Because the Spirit teaches, it's written in God's Word, that the Lord is of pure eyes to behold evil, and that he canst not look on iniquity, and that repentance must be preached. And what did those souls now learn? Oh, in the beginning, then they hope that they can perhaps make it right what is all wrong. But now in that true repentance, what does such a soul now learn? That their repentance needs to be repented of. That their repentance fall so far short of the demands of the holy and perfect law of God. Ah, then such a soul, then they become more and more troubled, becomes more and more a hopeless case. And that is the wonder of our text. That shall be our last point. Beginning at Jerusalem, maybe a few Jerusalems in my midst, that it is becoming more and more hopeless. Not only sinned against the law, but sinned against so much goodness, so many sermons, so many callings, special extraordinary dealings, and not brought us to the right place, and the justice of God requires now a perfect life and also a perfect birth for that people. And to that end, first repentance and then remission. Matthew 9, verse 12. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. How is it with our repentance congregation? Have we begun? It's an important question. Have we begun? And if not, when do you hope to begin? Then you just say, but I need the grace of God, and that is true. Hold on to it. Free and sovereign grace. But your excuses, do you sometimes think about it? Shall they stand at the end? All the excuses, maybe that you bring forth to settle your conscience, I hope, that you still have a speaking conscience, that's a blessing. A realization that it is not well. Then the necessity for much and unceasing prayer for the work of the Spirit, that we may become partaker of that true repentance, then we shall be ruined for the things of the world. And then, 'tis the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that second point. Because we read, and let us also put the emphasis, and that repentance should be preached in His name. It's not a legal repentance, but a gospel repentance. That is what the Lord requires, and that is what the Lord grants, and that must be preached, that gospel repentance which the Spirit works in the heart of His people. And now for that people for whom that repentance, in that time of that repentance, taste of the good things of the Lord, the sweetness of the service of the Lord, may receive many tokens of His love, many a blessing in His house when they open the Scriptures. But the Spirit teaches them that with all their doing and not doing, that they are a guilty, hell-worthy sinner still. That they still have that heavenly high debt that only increases. That all their sins, because the Spirit shall teach them, that their repentance, it is required, but it shall not erase one of their sins off their account. they all remain. And to that end, oh, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, with those pierced hands, side, and feet, with that finished meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, and as the resurrected Christ, where he may declare those wonderful things that he has opened, their understanding, that they may understand the scriptures concerning the dear Son of God, how that he has merited salvation, how he has merited that remission of sins, oh, where he has given himself in the council of peace, where he has left his Father's house, where he has assumed our human nature, where he has humbled himself so low, willing to be born in a stable. Oh, he was persecuted, a lowly station upon this earth, as the apostle now declared. But ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he has become poor, that through his poverty ye might be made rich. Oh, he was willing to take the sins of his people upon him. He has suffered, especially at the end of his life. Then he was nailed to the cross, and he has spoken those blessed words, "It is finished." And to that end, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, do we not read in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved? Do I not read in 1 John 1, verse 7, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins? Do we not read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he is able to save to the uttermost, oh, young and old, that glorious and precious name of Jesus may still be preached amongst us, that there is a way for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. And now in our text words, then in our last point, then it is declared, that declares that there are no impossible and no hopeless cases, no sinner too black, no sinner too bold, no sinner too cold, but that the mighty King of the church, oh, when he speaks, do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, that the Lord will work, and who shall let it? And in verse 6, that he shall bring the sons and the daughters from far and from the ends of the earth. Let us first sing Psalter 194, the first four stanzas. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, 194, the first four stanzas. Thank you. the weighty mandate given by the resurrected Christ to his church. When this mandate was given, the two aspects of this mandate, and now thirdly, the recipients of this mandate, and then in our third thought with that word recipients, then we are not speaking of those that shall bring the word, but those that must receive the word. And then we read in our text words, among all nations. To that end, many a missionary has been sent out. And they were men that were converted, at least the true missionaries, that have learned the importance of their never dying soul, the weight of never dying souls, love to their master and to their sender, great respect for God's holy word, a holy sense of urgency, that there are so many perishing souls upon this world that need to have preached repentance and remission. And when we read all nations, many Christian nations, they have sent out missionaries to heathen lands. And now it is perhaps necessary that some of those heathen lands where the missionaries have went, that they would perhaps send missionaries back to those Western countries. Such a declension in many a Christian countries where the Bible had such a large place, repentance and remission proclaimed, and where there is such a falling away, a despising of God's word. But now there is something very special added in our text, that after among all nations, it's not a period, boys and girls, but that it says in our text, beginning at Jerusalem. Are there a few Jerusalems in my midst? Or are we still all good people? And what is now the wonder that it may be proclaimed? Beginning at Jerusalem. And the Lord as a people at times that they are given to experience something of Jerusalem. Because our boys and girls can even understand it. If there was now a city upon the world that has sinned everything away, ruined it all, unworthy that the Lord would have any dealings with them anymore, then it was that city of Jerusalem. But now the mandate was given concerning the proclamation of repentance and remission, that they must begin at Jerusalem. Let us describe that city. in the first place, that city of Jerusalem, that was a privileged city, was known throughout all the world. Where the Lord has given his word, given his temple, and what a miracles that were done in Jerusalem, and that includes the land of Canaan. No people that were as privileged as Jerusalem, and yet his word, there was a remnant in Jerusalem. That is very clear. The Lord always has a remnant. But for most of Jerusalem, they were not given to turn unto the Lord. Is that still our picture, congregation? You cannot deny. So privileged, so blessed. The name of a triune God upon our forehead. Never went hungry. Never had to sleep under the open sky. Blessed above most of the people of the world. May have a place in God's house. And yet, it was Jerusalem that has rejected their Savior. They were an unbelieving city. Christ has said in John 5, verse 40, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Further, and that was a great sin. They were a gospel rejecting city. The Father has sent his Son, has come to Jerusalem. It was the Savior that was prayed for by the church of the Old Testament for 4,000 years. He has preached as no other prophet has ever preached. He has declared law and gospel, but they were an unbelieving and gospel rejecting city. And now Christ, then he has given the mandate that repentance and remission must be preached in his name, not only among all nations, but to begin with Jerusalem. Then further, that it was a hardened city. They have become used to all of it. What a pronouncement that Christ has pronounced in Matthew 11, the verses 20 through 24. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. The wonders that had been done among thee had been performed in Tyre and Sidon. Do we then yet resemble the city of Jerusalem? Must we say, young and old, that I now resemble that Jerusalem? And is there still then any hope? Or is it all finished? No, in our text it says, beginning at Jerusalem, was even a mocking city. There were many that have stood at the cross. He has saved others. Himself he cannot save. He is the Son of God. Let him come down and save himself. in the next place. It was a bloodstained city, because they have cried out, His blood be upon us and our children. The city of Jerusalem, as we read in the parable in Matthew 21, when that husbandman has sent his servants to receive the fruits, they have stoned, they have killed, and then he has sent a son, and they said, let us kill him, and we shall be the heir. Oh, that city of Jerusalem, if there was a wicked and an undeserving city upon the world, that it was Jerusalem, because they have killed the Savior of the world, the promised Savior unto our first parents. They have declared that we will not be, that he be king over us. They have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. An undeserving city, and now Christ gives the mandate, not at the end, but beginning at Jerusalem, that for such a city that there is yet repentance, remission. Perhaps a few Jerusalems in my midst. Oh, of course, when it is also tender, and when that repentance is so genuine, so real, such a real hatred of sin, a desire, if it was possible, to live perfectly before the Lord, begging for a thankful and humble heart. But when it becomes so still, when it becomes so dark, and the temptations overpower us, when it becomes so quiet, when there are those times of unbelief, when we deny what the Lord has done, and what the Lord has spoken. Oh, when he has spoken, it was so real. But then to question it, whether it was from the Lord or a strong desire. It's one way of desire we can find. There shall be a text in the Bible to suit our case, or even that the thought arises, has it been of the devil? If it was not of the devil, perhaps not so far from the sin, against the Holy Ghost. Oh, to be given to see the sin against the law, but also to learn the sin against the gospel, to be given to see that with all our working, to count the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing. Oh, to learn that it are our sins that have nailed them to the cross. The bitter enmity, that is our existence against God, His Son, and free and sovereign grace, that for such a Jerusalem, there's one rightful place, and that is in the bottom of hell. But now Christ declares in this morning, beginning at Jerusalem, that have ruined it all, sinned it all, at Jerusalem, perhaps that is burdened, that my sins are too great, that it is no longer possible, that it is hopeless. Oh, then Christ declares in our text that that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that they must begin at Jerusalem for such a people. Ah, young and old, then there is not one in this morning that can say when we read our text that it is impossible, but it needs to be experienced. And when the apostles went forth to preach, they did not mince words. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, that was the sin that was brought home. In Acts 2, whom ye by wicked hands, oh, it is true, by the determinate counsel of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified. In Acts 4, verse 10, Peter and John, whom ye have crucified, but they have added only one name given under heaven in verse 12, whereby ye must be saved. In Acts 5, the verses 30 and 31, whom ye hung on a tree, all beginning at Jerusalem, there the gospel, there was a great need. There it was proclaimed. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And now that name may still be proclaimed, beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, we can make many comparisons, but congregation shall not always be, shall come an end, come a time that it shall be the last sermon that we hear. And then it is indispensable that we are given to experience that repentance and remission. We shall close with solemn words that the Apostle Paul has spoken to the inhabitants of Antioch in Acts 13. Paul has first went to the Jews, but they resisted. They rejected. And then Paul has spoken those solemn words in Acts 13, verse 46, that they first be spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of a rich gospel for poor and hell-worthy sinners, even for Jerusalem. Wilt thou grant the application to the souls of young and old? Lord, do remember us and our children. We also commend unto thee our branch. Do help the readers in this day. May they be given to taste of something what they read, and wilt thou add thy richest blessing. Grant now traveling mercies. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers also on the Sabbath day concerning the mandate of which we have heard of, and wilt thou add thy blessing, and a mandate not only in the way of instruction, but also by example accompanied by prayer. Return in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 442, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Our gracious God has laid his firm foundations on Zion's mount, the courts of his delight, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The funeral arrangements for Mr. Jacob Rexa are as follows. Opportunity for condolences will be given tomorrow evening from 7 to 8 p.m. here in the church basement. The funeral service will be on Tuesday, May 13, at 1 p.m. here in the Pitcherview Church, with Reverend Aitchton Hollander officiating. Interment will follow in the Mountain View Cemetery in Lethbridge. And then the Nobleford Consistory is asked to announce the following. The midweek service in Nobleford with Reverend H. DeLeo, scheduled for Wednesday, May 14, has been canceled. And the wedding service on Thursday, May 5, will now be at 1 p.m. with Reverend H. DeHollander officiating. Psalter 442, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.